Brad Pitt's Formula One movie pulled in over $150 million at the box office in its opening weekend. But the real story is that he basically starred as a human billboard. Apple secured $40 million in brand sponsorships for a fictional team covered in logos from head to toe. The problem is I think most people won't remember a single one of those brands. And so in this episode, we're going to break down what went right, what went wrong, and what creators can learn about pitching smarter, more impactful brand deals. All right, so I want to bring in my lovely co-host, Joe Casabona. Joe, what would you do with a $40 million brand sponsorship budget?
Wow. What would I do with a $40 million brand sponsor? I mean, I'd go all out. I'm like against tattoos, but I might get a tattoo, right? $40 million is like a life-changing amount of money to me. And it is literally nothing for Apple, right? Like Apple's still the highest valued company in the world, right? Like trillions and trillions of dollars. Just wild.
How do you think they sold this through to these brands? I mean, obviously there's a big allure. It's like a big budget movie. F1 is kind of having its moment right now in terms of interest with the Netflix series and all that. But like, what do you think the pitch was when, you know, Apple or the producers were going to some of these brands and saying, hey, we're going to include you in this fictional, on this fictional team in the movies, and justify that price tag?
Yeah, it's, you know, I'd be really curious to see like who was actually in charge of that. Cause like I am embedded in like Apple culture a lot. I listen to a lot of Apple podcasts and things like that. And they are very like, you know, high on their own supply. So like I could imagine them going to brands and being like, we're making an F1 movie with Brad Pitt. Are you in or not? Like, are you an idiot or are you in? Right. But I suspect somebody else, they worked with, it looks like, Jerry Bruckheimer Films and Plan B and Monolith Pictures. And it was distributed by Warner Brothers. So like any of those could have been in charge of ad sales. And they probably just said, hey, Apple's putting a ton of money behind this. It's going to be on Apple TV Plus. They're going to promote it everywhere. Your logo will be prominently featured in the movie. Like, do you want in on this or not? Maybe they went to brands who wouldn't traditionally sponsor F1 because of the optics are weird, but like sponsoring an Apple movie is a little bit better, right? Like I saw Tommy Hilfiger. I can't imagine there's a lot of overlap between people who watch F1 and people who buy Tommy Hilfiger clothes.
Well, one thing I think we hear a lot in our coaching program is I am a very large creator. I get lots of views. I have lots of followers. And so isn't that enough for a brand to want to work with me? What does it take, do you think, for a creator to get to the level of like cachet that like something like Apple has or Brad Pitt has or whatever? Like, is that even possible for a creator to be able to just like come to a brand and be like, you want to be associated with this project or with me because of who I represent in the industry? What does it take for a creator to get there, you think?
I mean, you got to be the name in your niche, right? Like when I think tech reviews, I think MKBHD.
Yeah, same.
Right. When I think crazy, weird, bombastic videos, I think Mr. Beast, right? When I think podcast for dudes, I think Joe Rogan. Like you have to be the name associated with whatever your niche is to be able to go to brands and be like that. I mean, people, I am inextricably linked with this thing. And so if you are associated with me, so are you.
That's actually a great point. And I think maybe one lesson here, one of the first lessons that we talk about today is that if you are not one of those three names or one of the names that we just discussed or like in your category that you're not the name, that's probably not a good pitch to come to a brand and, you know, try to convince them that like this is a project that you want to get in front of, you know, because it's just really think about how that conversation would go down with that person's boss at the brand, or if it's an agency, how that conversation would go down with the client. It's just like a really hard sell if they can't justify how this is going to tie back to their business results. You know,
it's almost like if a car dealer went to you and been like, hey, we have a lot of cars. Cool. every car dealer has a lot of cars. Like, that doesn't mean I should buy one from you.
So I think it's worthwhile kind of mentioning a few of the brands that they were able to convince doing this. So they had Expensify, which is like an expense management company, IWC, which is like a fancy watch brand, Tommy Hilfiger, as you mentioned, Shark Ninja, which makes a bunch of kitchen appliances, vacuums, et cetera. So like, these are big name brands, you know, these are not like nobody brands. And they did kind of some interesting activations around this where they had one of the stars or one of the drivers go to the Met Gala wearing the fireproof, you know, driving suit or whatever with all the brand, you know, logos on it and all that. One thing I was curious about, I wonder if they had to pay the Met Gala to be able to do that, or mm-hmm. they just kind of like did it guerrilla style.
Right.
So there was like some interesting like traditional media plays here. But like, dude, you know, I'm just so skeptical that like, are these brands really going to be able to like attribute this kind of marketing stunt to actual sales, actual results? I mean, I think, you know, this is like classic awareness play, right? Like, there's very little, I think, attribution that they're going to be able to tie back to in terms of like, oh, we had 10 more Fortune 500 companies sign up for Expensify because they watched the F1 movie. I don't know, maybe. I just feel like, you know, it's a really tough sell.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, to be honest, this is what I tell our coaching clients, right, in the program. Like, when brands are looking for awareness, it's almost an easier sell than saying, like, than tying it to conversions, right? Do you think that Coca-Cola knows how many sodas they sold after a Super Bowl ad? No, they just want you to think about Coca-Cola the next time you're buying something. That's a consumer product, though, right? It's not like when I'm buying a car, I'm going to, yes, Mercedes-Benz keeps showing up a lot, right? Like, it's a very different thing.
Why do you think that so? One very common thing I think we hear is that, like, every brand wants conversions. Every brand wants sales. Like, they're coming to me and they're asking me if I can guarantee a certain number of sales or guarantee a certain number of views or whatever. Why do you think some brands still are myopic about looking at influencer marketing or working with creators as like a bottom of funnel activity?
I think it's because, well, first of all, it's the easiest for them to justify, right? If, we're going to spend X amount of dollars and get Y amount of dollars back, right? Like, that's a very easy math equation. It's almost like, you know, one of our coaching clients has called you like a, what do they call you? A slot machine or something like that? Like, you put in money and you get more money out, right? Like,
so I paid Justin 1,000. It's like a slot machine. You put 1,000 in, you get 12,000 out.
It's almost like that, right? I think another reason is probably due to the rise of affiliate programs, which, like, Mercedes-Benz and Coca-Cola, they probably don't have affiliate programs. That would be insane. But like, a lot of the brands approaching creators do. And that is, at least in my experience, my first point of contact is usually an affiliate manager trying to get me to join the affiliate program because there's no risk for them.
I think that there is a lot of people who would love to do traditional product placement in their content on the internet, because you see that a lot in like movies, TV shows, and so on. You've got, it's like a very clear, you know, or like, you know, these like the Tonight Show or, you know, these like late night shows or whatever, they've got the, you know, mug of the, or, you know, a can of Coke or whatever, some of the, like, you know, sports shows or something, they're sponsored by certain drink companies or whatever, and creators come and be like, why can't I do that? Why can't I have that thing? I'm getting millions of views a month. Why can't I have a product sitting on my desk or in my background or something? And I there's been a lot of people who've tried that for years, but somehow it still seems very difficult to convince traditional brands that like working with creators in that capacity is a worthwhile thing.
Yeah. And I mean, like, part of it is like, there's so much going on. Like, I get a lot of compliments on my background, but nobody can see my background. Right. And like, people aren't going to go on the Haunted Mansion because they see a bunch of pictures of the Haunted Mansion in my background. Right. Even like, you know, your book is in yours. I would wonder how many people buy your book just by seeing it. Like, I mean, like, you're doing it. If I had your book right here, how many people would buy your book just because I had it on display? Actually, it is on display, like over here in the corner. So,
you notice, yeah. I had the book close enough so it's not too blurry because I've got
that
the
is true.
I've
yeah,
got
yeah.
the lens, I you know, the bokeh and everything.
Right. So like, there's that, I think. But then these bigger companies who are, they're basically practicing billboard media in an era that it just doesn't like. Okay, I watch the Yankee game every single day. Every single day. I could not. They played. I don't want to timestamp this, but they played away yesterday. I could not tell you. I watched every second of that game, basically, sadly. And I couldn't tell you the ads. I couldn't tell you the ads in the outfield. I struggle to remember. I think like WB Mason is at Yankee Stadium. The one I remember the best is The Wiz. And like they're not advertising at Yankee Stadium anymore. Or like Delta, because Delta does other things with the Yankees. So like just seeing a picture of something is not, it's not really a strategy, and it's probably why creators can't get that.
At what point do you think a brand transitions from very, very, like they're a startup, right? Things are going well. Everything is conversion focused. They're very strategic about all the dollars that they spend. At what point do you think they transition into a territory where it's like, okay, sponsoring, you know, the outfield at Yankee Stadium or sponsoring a billboard or naming a stadium, at what point do you think they start to feel as though they can justify those larger investments of awareness?
I mean, I think it's very similar to the earlier answer about like, when can you go to a brand and say like, you want to work with me? It's like, no one doesn't know who Coca-Cola is, right? No one doesn't, like Delta is one of five airlines that you can get here in the United States. And so for them, it's less about, you need to know what our value proposition is, and more, we just need you to be top of mind the next time you make a purchase. And so like, if I'm going to Yankee Stadium and I'm seeing the Delta sign all the time, I might lean a little bit towards Delta because, oh, well, you know, they I see their logo the most.
I think that there's maybe a lesson in here for creators, which is like doing a bit of research to see at what scale is this company right now? Are they a startup? Are they even a medium-sized company? Are you seeing them do awareness type activities where they're sponsoring events and they're sponsoring, you know, they have billboards? If they don't have any of those things, awareness, an awareness pitch is probably not going to work very well. I remember, right. I had a brand come to me wanting to sponsor my newsletter maybe 2 years ago or something. And when I asked them, hey, what would success look like for you when you know, collaborating here, they said something very surprising, which was that like, hey, anytime that people hear the word membership, we want them to associate that with our brand name, membership. So it was like that very much was kind of an awareness play where they were feeling as though they wanted to own a certain term or keyword or something like that. Mm-hmm. And that changed how I approached the actual tactical execution of that campaign. That changed the way in which I recommended, hey, I know you want to do newsletters, but maybe we should do some live stream sponsorships as well as that, as well as the newsletter stuff. And so I think like asking these questions and, you know, thinking about how you could restructure your pitch based on this research that you're doing is pretty important, I think.
Yeah. And I mean, it just, it's something that we talk about all the time. Like, how much should I charge for X? We always say, like, you should have packages based on the brand's goals. Because if you're just saying, oh, yeah, it's, you know, $350 a podcast sponsorship, maybe podcast sponsorship, it ain't it for the brand. And I think that's really important. During one of our silent co-working pitches, I changed niche. Well, I've changed niches, right? I've changed my STP, if you will. So I haven't done sponsorships this year yet because I didn't want to take sponsors that were for my old STP. Mm-hmm. I didn't feel that was right. And so I spent one of our recent silent, co-working, events looking at Instagram ads for people who were advertising to me because mm-hmm. Me 3 years ago is basically who I help. And that showed me two things, right? It showed me like brands that have advertising dollars, but also it pertinent to this conversation is showing me like those brands are probably focused on conversions, mm-hmm. right? Like you're probably not advertising on Instagram or Facebook for awareness. It would be my guess. I mean, maybe I think you probably know social media better than me, but that's my assumption.
It's possible. I mean, it depends on what the conversion goal was. So like right. You can actually select when you create a Facebook campaign or any campaign on social media, what you're optimizing for. Like you can optimize for views and awareness, or you can optimize for like purchase conversions or like registrations or whatever. So you can, basically the Meta algorithm will show it to different people based on those, the objective type.
So I really should have clicked through on those ads to see where I went.
Maybe, right? Because whether or not you're going to the main page of the website or if you're going to like a add to cart, you know, landing page or something, probably would have told you more.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's a really good point. I think like you like that told me a piece of the puzzle, right? Is that they had some sort of advertising dollars. That's why the outreach is really important, though.
One thing I think that's interesting about this is, they made $40 million on these sponsorships. How much they spent on marketing, I don't know. It was a lot, right? Because I saw it everywhere. But I did not really see a ton of, like, creator-focused campaigns for this movie. So let's just assume creator marketing got 1% of the overall marketing budget for the film. It's still interesting to me how influencer marketing is treated as kind of a novelty. I think a lot of people think, oh, yeah, every brand does influencer marketing. And yeah, like maybe that's true. But like most traditional brands or most traditional marketing campaigns, creator marketing is still kind of a rounding error in the overall scheme of things, which to me is exciting because it feels like we're still very early days until in terms of these traditional incumbents seeing the value of, you know, partnering with people. Like there are, I mean, like I think creators to some degree have a point, which is that like, you know, let's just take Mr. Beast, for example. I mean, he's getting hundreds of millions of views on a single video, which is literally more than like pretty much most major sporting events or most major, you know, like the late shows we're talking about. And they're getting like, you know, single digit million views, but like a huge amount of people are getting that, you know, on their content regularly. So again, I think this is my optimistic take on it, which is that like it's still very early.
It's easy for brands to look backwards it's easy for brands to look backwards and say like, oh yes, this is what has traditionally worked. It's a lot of brands are hesitant to blaze a new trail. Again, I keep thinking about Super Bowl commercials because it's like $1 million for 7 seconds or something.
No, it's like, $7 million for 30 seconds or something. It's crazy.
Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah. So like, there is clout that comes along with being a Super Bowl ad, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, GoDaddy basically exists because of their Super Bowl ads in the 2000s, right? In the early 2000s. But like you said, how, like, you can't really track conversion. And so what's the big difference between going to a creator where you may not be able to track conversions is, well, we have that tech, right? Oh, use the link in my bio and you can track everything. But also tracking conversions is such a low risk, which is also why we tell creators like form the relationship and be a partner, because that's really another way to alleviate risk for the brand. You're not just a commodity you're purchasing. You are an advisor in some way, shape, or form. You know, as we're talking about this stuff, like what can creators do differently and why doesn't this like product placement work for creators? I think it's important to know that earlier I said I can't tell you the ads, the product placement or the ads that I saw during a baseball game where I watched for 3 hours last night, right? A great partner in this is T-Mobile with MLB, right? They have T-Mobile Park, but they also do more, and they're like kind of all over Major League Baseball. You get MLB TV for free if you're a T-Mobile customer. They donate some amount of money per home run hit in the Home Run Derby. You see their ads, you see active campaigns throughout the year, and it's a long season, right? So the people who are doing this sort of, I guess, billboard marketing or product placement the best are not the ones who are just relying on that, right? They are, you see their logo, but then you also see what they're doing and what else they're doing in partnership with the content creator, sports league, whatever.
Yeah, that's a super good point, dude. And I think one stat that I read recently, which is very important for everyone listening, YouTube recently announced that viewing on TV has surpassed mobile viewing as of just a couple months ago, which is crazy to me. And I've seen this where, you know, my kids watch YouTube on the TV constantly. And, you know, let's say they're watching Mark Rober or something, or Mr. Beast, or whatever, you know, YouTuber. I'm starting to see as part of these integrations that the creator will put a QR code up on the screen, like in the lower left, like, hey, if you want to learn more about the sponsor, scan the code on the screen. It's like starting to like understand the viewer behavior of your audience, regardless of what platform it's on, and realizing like, hey, maybe there's something tactically that I can do in the content itself to increase conversions for this partnership. And maybe that's something that you're recommending to the brand. They're not the one being like, hey, can you put a QR code on the screen? But you're saying like, hey, I've actually looked at the data and I know that 60% of my viewers or whatever are watching on TV. In fact, I was talking with a creator recently who's a food creator. I mean, that's a perfect example. They're seeing a huge, they have an older demographic and the majority of the people watching are now on TV. That's the number one device type. And so I think being thoughtful about how you are consulting your brand partners to see the best results is important.
Yeah, for sure. I like on that same token, it's funny you mentioned that because YouTube also announced that podcasters or people who consume podcasts want video. They just showed that like there's a big spike in people consuming podcasts on YouTube. What they don't include in that stat, right? And which is important for like a creator to know and give to the brand is like most people start a podcast and then listen in the background. So like if you do the QR code thing for sponsor my podcast on YouTube, like that's not going to convert, right? Because most people are not watching. They are using YouTube to listen. So I think it's really important. This is why we need to partner with the brands, right? This is why we can't just be like sponsor my podcast or put your logo on my iPad in the background.
Well, if you're sitting here thinking, okay, Joe, Justin, I get this, but what should I actually say when I reach out and pitch a brand? Make sure to watch this next video where Joe and I start a 60-second timer and we pitch real and fake brands.